developmental optometrist, award-winning author, and international speaker, Dr. Lynn Hellerstein holds powerful and inspiring conversations with her guests on Vision Beyond Sight in areas of healthcare, wellness, education, sports, and psychology. They share their inspirational stories of healing and life transformation through their vision expansion. Billions of people have vision problems, and vision is more than 20/20. Vision Beyond Sight will help you see with clarity and gain courage and confidence. Your vision does not define you. You define your vision. With Dr. Lynn's new way to look at your life through a new lens, you will be ready to meet yourself and receive visualizations for miracles to come. Welcome to Vision Beyond Sight.
Good morning, friends. This is Dr. Lynn, and welcome to Vision Beyond Sight. Today, visiting with us is my friend and previous yoga teacher, Jen Wilking. Jen is truly an amazing person, as you'll quickly see her power and passion. Today, we're going to talk about how identifying your core values through your heroes and villains. But first, we'll learn a little bit about Jen. You know, Jen was on a previous podcast, and she's going to really explain a little bit about her journey from a physical therapist, yoga teacher, and now she's really working in meditation, and her mission is to help people feel at home in their lives. Jen grew up in a small town in Ohio with a large extended family and a neighborhood full of kids. She's lived in Colorado for over 20 years, and for the past decade, she's been blending physical therapy and yoga, teaching beginners and advanced students alike, leading anatomy workshops and teacher trainings, and developing a yoga program for a group of people with Parkinson's disease and their partners as well. During the pandemic, she took all her teaching online and began to teach a Yoga Nidra series in the spring of 2020 that's grown now into a program, a 9-week program called Into the Deep. Jen dreams of and works for a world where people feel safe to be themselves, where dignity is honored even when we disagree, and where we work together to create thriving communities. She writes, teaches, and facilitates with this as her inspiration. So, Jen, welcome back to Vision Beyond Sight.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be back.
Well, it's great. And what you're doing and working in community, especially in a community that's so divided, I believe is such a need and such a calling. I'm just really happy to have you hear and explain a little bit about the work you're doing. So let's just kind of jump into what you've talked about, heroes and villains. So let's start with heroes. Who are your heroes and what do they have in common?
Sure. So this heroes and villains part is part of identifying core values. And with the heroes section, it's really fun because when you start talking about who you admire, those come to the surface. So for me, when I start making a list, they include people like Pete Buttigieg, Oprah, Michelle and Barack Obama, Valerie Kaur, Tara Moore, Donna Hicks, Susan David, and Brené Brown. And some of these names you might recognize and some you might not, but they all, once I start looking at them, they have some underlying connections. So in the workshops, I have people make the list and then go back and add what it is that you love about each person and how they are in the world. So when I start writing about each of them, so things come up like building other people up, generosity, joy, relationships, people who spotlight good things, so books and educate others. And a lot of them have those overlapping values. So for Michelle Obama, I talk about speaking out, building people up, educating others and advocating for people who are being marginalized, abused, or forgotten.
That's really great, because I see that you and I have some similar heroes. without talking to you about before, certainly Michelle Obama, Brene Brown. I'll just share a couple of mine, if you don't mind.
Yes,
here.
Sure.
In that people like Leonard Bernstein, there was something about his music and how music came through him and creativity and being, you know, a master of music just shows up as a hero for me. And but I, you know, when I saw your questions for this interview, I went through some of the questions with my own answers, which I thank you for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found were that sometimes the heroes were not like these well-known people like Michelle Obama and Leonard Bernstein and, you know, presidents, whatever. Some of them were your everyday person that you just run into that is a personal hero. And I just want to share a quick story of, you know, when I had gotten divorced and I had to clean out my house, I called Got Junk, whatever the name of that, the group mm-hmm. that come over with their trucks and haul away everything. And I was, you know, certainly visibly upset. It was hard. I was cleaning out my house of 40 years by myself. I had kids' stuff from, you know, 30 years. I had, you know, a lot of furniture and belongings of us as a couple. And it was just an emotional time. And to be there by myself was even harder. But the junk man, that's what he called himself, I'm your junk man, came and settled me down and helped me set up three piles. And just if I looked at it, he just looked at me, he goes, "It's okay, take your time." And his patience, his generosity and listening, it was such an emotional experience. And little did I think one of my heroes was going to be my junk man.
I love that. I also put in a little block beside the people that I thought other people would know, teachers, librarians, and people in healthcare. And very similar to you, I have stories of healthcare people who made such a difference in my life. So yes, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So that's part of your workshop. You know, we're not really going to go through your workshop, but in your workshop, that's an exercise that you do is actually have people make their list. Is that correct?
Right. And two things tend to happen. There are two aha moments. First of all, people make the list. And then when they start writing about each one, they start to make the connection. So that's the first aha. They say things like, "Oh, all of my people use humor as a form of resilience. All of my people are helpers in the world. All of my people are very creative," whatever the connection is. And they make that. Oh, interesting. And then the second part of it is when you look at what these people are doing, what is it that inspires you? And they'll start to talk about what they do in their own lives. And it's the second aha when they realize that they share this value and they too are already doing it, but they just see the other people as so far ahead of them that they think what they're doing doesn't even count. And so we talk about how these visible people tend to be at the very top of what they're doing with the most eyes on them for how they're doing it. And then when they look at their own life and think, "Oh, these things that I'm doing, I'm actually inspiring other people who are newer to this than I am," and just the continuum of work that's all of ours to do.
That's a beautiful way, because I've been in workshops and all where people say, "Write your values." And well, let me think. And this is just such a nice way to help you realize what your values are without thinking of the word of the value, but seeing the action of that, you know, what that value brings. It's a really, really brilliant way to help people identify that.
Well, that's exactly where it came from, because I used to teach as part of Into the Deep this clarifying your values section. And what I would do is what I thought there was to do, and that was to bring a couple of worksheets full of values from really well-known people doing great work on values. And what happened was people would circle almost all of the words, right? I mean, who doesn't think integrity is a good thing? Who doesn't think generosity is a good thing? Like everything minus two or three things would be circled. And so at the end, people have 20, 30, 40 values, and that's just not helpful. So instead of saying, which values do you think are good? It's more like, which ones really come to the surface for you? And that's how this all got developed.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. That's great. So then let's now move into the villains, and it's up to you if you want to mention your villains. Talk about what they have in common and how that highlights what you value.
Yes. So I do not want to mention my villain, but I want to talk about, I'm not here to, you know, talk negatively about a person, but I want to talk about how I do this in a way that it points to what we value. So I have people think of a public figure that you loathe. I could be a politician, a business owner, an actor, anyone that you don't know personally and have a fiery anger toward. And then make a list of these grievances, right? So go beyond the person and identify their actions and beliefs that dishonor what matters to you. Because what they do, say, and believe, what they fight for, these contradict what you care about. So for me, when I think of a person who I have fiery anger toward and that I don't know personally, this person is callous and cruel and mean. This person uses dehumanizing language, encourages violence and instigates hate, has a huge and fragile ego, devalues people, manipulates, tells lies, treats others like they are less than. So when I start to look at this, flashing neon signs toward my value, it's dignity, right? So I realize by way of looking at what is so painful when I see it in the world, I see how much I value people being treated with dignity. There are other things too, honesty, humility, care for the common good, kindness, building people up, things like that. But for me, the flashing neon sign is this belief that all people, even the people who don't treat other people with dignity, which is the hard part,
right,
should be treated with dignity.
And that's the big key, which I think we all want to work on, but don't even know where to start, in that we know that we don't cure hatred by hatred and violence. We know that.
Yes.
And we know love is the cure. We know that, but that's not how we can act. That's not how we are acting. That's not how our actions are showing up. So when you identify this, which I think is a really big first step, then what?
Well, the heroes and villains are part of the larger group of questions. And the first group of questions usually is really foundational. Family, friends, relationships, health, things like that. This second set with the heroes and villains, I think, helps us to identify where it would be most meaningful to us to take action. It can be overwhelming. There's so much in the world. If you watch the news or read the news or however you get the world news, it can be completely overwhelming and demoralizing, and it can lead to despair. When you get clear on what you really care about, and you can put your one life to work for something that matters to you, making a difference, that's how this shows up. So let's say in your heroes and villains, you see in your heroes things that they're doing that you really love and identify with. Then maybe you find small actions to take toward that. In the villain section, it's usually something, a wrong that's being perpetrated in the world that you want to help with. So maybe your time, your talent, or your money goes toward a cause that's already doing this work and furthering it in the world.
Yeah. So it starts really in your own circle, in your own circle of life, your own family. This, we're talking about trying to save the world, and we have families that we're not talking to each other, and
right.
you know, have villains by your definition within our own space, and what a difference that could make by just starting with our own community or our personal lifelines. And seems so simple, yet, you know, most of us need some help. Yeah, in starting that process, which is interesting.
In the process, we take three steps, and it, the first is to get clear on what it is that matters and really write it down. And then the second is to identify a few actions that you want to take and to start small, because it can be, it can feel like so much. So to take these two or three actions that you want to start doing, maybe it's volunteering, maybe it's reaching out to people that you have difficult relationships with, maybe whatever the things are, they're small things, small steps that you can take that become part of your life. And then the third part of it is to have to include a friend, right? And to tell someone, hey, I'm working on these few things. And whatever it is about this intention and sharing with someone that we care about, it makes us much more likely to follow through. So writing it down, identifying and tracking, and then connecting with someone about it.
Yeah, that's great accountability. Otherwise, you take the workshop, go home, and nothing changes. But I love that, taking accountability and needing to take action right away, because we'll forget if we don't do something sooner than later, by all means, which is great.
And that's part of it, too, is that we are constantly bombarded with information. Things are coming at us all of the time. And if we don't get really clear on what matters to us, it's easy to just float through life on somebody else's, you know, flashing neon signs. Look at this, buy this, do this. And then it ends up feeling off, but we just don't know why.
Yeah, great. Well, let's switch gears just a little bit here. And you've developed a process called life pruning. What do you mean by that? And why did you develop that?
So early in 2023, I had this idea for a workshop called Life Pruning. And it came from hearing people say they wish they had more time, or they weren't able to do the things that they really wanted to do. And so I started thinking about what this would look like. And then you and I actually talked in 2023, and a lot of things happened that year with health things and travel. And so it fell to the back burner. And then at the end of 2023, I sent out a survey to my newsletter list asking about what they're most interested in the new year. And I asked about workshops. And on a whim, I added making more room for what matters most in your life. And it collected the most votes far and away. So I created it. And so far, over 400 people have joined the workshop, and it's fun and deep. And there's a lot of enthusiasm and participation. And it, there's a little bit of decluttering to it. People love the, like, clean out the drawers and, you know, the closet and things like that. But it's really about getting clear on what matters so that you can let go of what isn't, right? So it's this pruning is cutting away the stuff that is taking up space without having any meaning or value, so that what's left can grow and flourish in our lives. And then we're living more aligned with what we care about. So it feels lighter and more spacious and more purposeful.
Well, I want to have more discussion about this life pruning after our break that we'll take in just a minute. But you mentioned, you know, some of it's just clearing the clutter. I know the impact of clearing my closets out. And again, going back to 7 years ago when I got divorced, and the first thing I did was to clean out my house. And, you know, again, all of you folks who have families and kids, you've got all of their awards and their notebooks and their many things that you could either take a digital picture or forget. But when I cleaned out the clutter, it really felt like there was more space to breathe in. And, you know, and the house didn't grow, but the absorption of oxygen was, you know, by all this junk really changed. And what a difference. I, you know, also had the experience of somebody coming in and cleaning out my closet. And starting, you know, a wardrobe, getting rid of things that are 10 years old or that didn't fit and that we think someday we'll get back to, which we never do. But boy, cleaning out the clutter just from a physical standpoint is important. Wait till you see what can happen if you clean out the clutter in your mind. And that's what we'll talk about after our break. So stay with us and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Dr. Lynn will be right back after this. Can your child see, really see, more than 20/20? Does your child struggle in school, have trouble with tracking when reading, or resist writing? Dr. Lynn Hellerstein's award-winning book, See It, Say It, Do It, provides parents and teachers with specific tools and strategies in visualization and processing. Improve and empower your child's learning and performance in school, sports, and play. Get See It, Say It, Do It on Amazon or visit lynnhellerstein.com. Dr. Lynn Hellerstein's book, 50 Tips to Improve Your Sports Performance, has identified the top 50 ways for you to achieve excellent results in any sport activity. Enhance eye-mind-body coordination skills, achieve the mental edge, prevent injuries. This book belongs in every athlete's or coach's sports bag. Get 50 Tips to Improve Your Sports Performance on Amazon or visit lynnhellerstein.com. Welcome back to Vision Beyond Sight. Here's Dr. Lynn.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Lynn, and we're speaking with Jan Wilking, who's a physical therapist, a yoga teacher, a meditation teacher, and she's on a mission to help people feel at home in their lives. I love the sound of that. You know, you would think that's just natural. That's the way it's supposed to be, but so many of us aren't living the life that we think we should, or aren't living at home. We're, you know, on a different behavior. So it's just, I love feeling at home in my life. That sounds great. So we were talking about life pruning and starting with some of the physical decluttering and, you know, just my own personal experience of cleaning out closets, cleaning out drawers, cleaning out, especially my personal closet of old clothes that bring back memories where I wore them and now they don't fit and now they're out of style. And, you know, with the pandemic, it's kind of funny. My old clothes had turned into my new wardrobe for 2023 because I hadn't worn them much. And so I'm glad I didn't clean that clutter out. But, you know, continue on about the impact, you know, starting with a physical clutter, and then we'll get more into just our own emotional and mental clutter.
Sure. One of the things that we do in the life pruning workshops is have this brainstorming of physical decluttering. So I start people off with things like junk drawers and, you know, the cabinet with the bottles and mugs and the food storage containers. Where do the lids go? We don't know. So that gets things started. And then people will be like, Christmas decorations, socks, scarves. And so before you know it, I have this huge list of physical decluttering things. I turned it into a checklist that people can use to go through their own things. But people really enjoy talking about, these are the places, my attic or my garage, where they can clear out life. Because as you said, it makes a really big difference. It feels heavy, even if we're used to it. And then once it's cleared out, we're like, oh, wow, this really this feels different mentally and emotionally. The other thing we talk about is digital pruning. And I'm not a big physical clutter person, but oh, my digital footprint is a mess. Like the desktop and the folders everywhere. And I keep things that, you know, like you said, you're never going to use your clothes. I'm never going to use a lot of the stuff that I have downloaded and thought I would use and those kinds of things. So it's looking at those areas that then give us more space for emotional and how we are in our life.
Well, it's so funny. Digital, all I do is buy, you know, bigger storage. For $1.99, you too can get, you know, thousands of gigabytes. And so yes, that's, you know, that process made it very easy to not clean mm-hmm. out a mess. Now, I've always been good with my folders and organizations. But, yeah, cleaning out the old digital stuff, for me, hasn't really happened. But let's move on to our own minds. How often mm-hmm. our minds are filled with such clutter. And I think that goes back to your life pruning of, you know, really starting to find out what's really important for us that we need to hang on to and what we could really let go of and would really give us more space and ability to breathe.
Yes. There's a part where I have people brainstorm what time wasters, what are their time wasters? And we all know it. We don't really want to talk about it. We don't really, you know, put it down on paper. But when we start thinking about the things that take up space in our mind, I know for me personally, two that really take up a lot of mental and emotional space are the news and social media. Mm. And I tend to start my day looking at my email, opening up the news to read what's happening in the world, and then checking social. And before you know it, I have, I think, wasted the first 2 hours of my day in something like this that really starts me out scattered. So my process is moving away from that and getting my cup of tea and sitting on the back porch and watching the sunrise, maybe doing some writing or doing some really important work so that that important work goes first instead of maybe getting pushed to the afternoon or tomorrow or the next day.
You know, that's something I think all of us could look at in the social media frenzy mm-hmm. has really created us as being prisoners to our phones, myself included. And I know at those times where either my battery's dead or I happen to go somewhere with no cell service or make a commitment that I won't get on my phone for X amount of time is a new freedom that I don't make that opportunity present for myself very often. Right. Any tips on how to deal with that? And it sounds like you've created, you know, a new process for yourself where you don't pick up your phone right in the beginning of the day and you do other empowering things for yourself. Any other thoughts that you can help our listeners possibly create and take advantage of?
Well, I will say it is a struggle. So it's something that I want to be more consistent with and I am still working on. But I have done a couple things, and one is the irony, it's an app. And it's called Awesome Habits. And there's something about, for humans, just this creating something and then tracking it. So in it, you can put a couple of habits that you're working on, and then each day you can check it off. So, you know, one of mine is reduce social media and no social media before 9 a.m., things like that. And you could use that to give you a little bit of traction toward how you want to do this section. For me, it's in the morning. It's how I want to live my mornings. The other thing we talked about is telling someone, hey, I'm working on this. And it could be someone you're living with, or it could be a close friend. so that you have not so much, I don't love the word accountability. It makes it feel heavier, but kind of an inspiration partner in this. Hey, I'm working on this too. The other thing is to set up times on your phone where it's on do not disturb, or there are windows and getting rid of notifications. Like, make it make the least amount of noise it can possibly make for you, because it's so easy. Oh, someone texted you, and before you know it, it's 45 minutes later and you have checked this, and this. So, yeah.
Those are great ideas, and we all know what you bring attention to expands. So just bringing your attention to the issue of what you like and recreating what you like is a very effective way to get started. And, you made me realize, for my text, I have always turned off the ring, the notification for my text, and it makes a lot of people mad. They say, I texted you, yes. You didn't respond. And I just tell them, I go, you know, it is too distracting for me. I know that. And I don't need more distractions. I've got plenty of my own already. And if you really need me, call me. That's fine. I don't have a problem. I'm at my desk all the time. So email, you know, I'm distracted by email. I just can't do the text thing. So that's one thing I've held on to, much to my kids' chagrin, not allowing.
Yes, my kids also get frustrated, but mine is the flip. You can almost always get me by text because I get my texts on my laptop, but I rarely have the ringer on my phone. And so people can be texting with me and call me and be like, why aren't you answering? And I say, oh, I don't even know where my phone is. It's downstairs. I'm texting on the computer. So,
you know, as long as we have a system, it's just confusing for all of us around as to, oh, you're a texter. No, you're a caller. Oh, wait a minute. No. So, well, those are great. Well, Jen, we're pretty close to finishing up here, but I do want to make sure that you talk about how people can connect with you and your classes, and especially why and what you hope these people will come away with by attending your classes and social media.
Sure. Everything can be found at jenwilking.com. That's my website. You can see the things there for life pruning. I also have a series called Into the Deep. There are links also to social media and other things that I do. What I hope to do is to help people get clear on what matters so that they can make room for it and that they can reclaim their time and focus so that the things that they do lead toward a life of meaning, so that they can make time for the people they love, the things that they love to do, and the things that matter to them. So I tend to go deep. That's how Into the Deep got its name. I love to help people with self-discovery and deep conversation around things that we usually don't get to. Usually it's a more, I don't want to call it superficial, but we don't get into these deep conversations. And so I like to talk about things that matter and what they look like in our lives. And that's a big part, this action. Like, how do we bring these things that matter? What does it look like in everyday action and interaction with the people around us?
Which is great. And my understanding is your checklist, your life pruning physical decluttering checklist, is available on your website as well. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. That's the compilation of the brainstorming things in life pruning where people talk about their physical decluttering areas.
Well, that's great. Well, any last messages you'd like to share? I mean, you're very inspirational in your work and the difference that you make in the world. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we say goodbye here?
My hope is that as we move through life, we grow together and that we learn to take better care of ourselves and each other as we keep showing up in the world.
Well, that's really great. And that's why I keep following you on your emails and and I miss our yoga classes, but I really encourage our listeners to check you out. And you've got so many wonderful handouts and classes and courses, and it's just a great way of finding a little peace and light in this world that's pretty chaotic right now. So I thank you so much for your time, and it's always great to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lynn. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for joining us today on Vision Beyond Sight. Join Dr. Lynn Hellerstein each week to help you find clarity in your functional vision and expand the power of your seeing brain to gain courage, confidence, and success in your life. Remember, your vision does not define you. You define your vision. For more information and find additional podcasts, visit lynnhellerstein.com. See you next time on Vision Beyond Sight.